This is the Big E Sports Show
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, Elissa Walker-Campbell, welcome back. Hour 2, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Many different ways to connect at eRadio Sports. You can email the show, info@eradiosports.com, podcastarena.com. We make it so easy. Download our app for all the latest sporting news and stories. That is Sports Map Radio. We are on the clock. The countdown to Super Bowl 58 coverage does continue here in hour two. But right now, we're going to go inside the ropes and hit on some PGA news and notes. So many storylines. The rich just continue to get richer. Massive agreement for the PGA Tour as they have finalized an agreement with the Strategic Sports Group that will infuse up to $3 billion into the tour. How will this all play out, and how is this going to improve the PGA Tour? Guess what? Our next guest is going to help us break it all down and help us understand it. Always a true pleasure when he's joining us. That's my guy, former PGA Tour player and author, the great Larry Miller. Hello, Larry.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. How are you on this beautiful spring-like day?
Yeah, good stuff here in the month of February, but it is time to roll up our sleeves, and I want to get your takeaways on the PGA Tour, this big announcement this past week, and investment. What was your reaction?
Well, there are so many implications with this. You know, it's hard to tell where to start, but first of all, though, I don't know. There must be something that we just don't know, that the public just doesn't know, because you know, there's a group here that's got, what, $3 billion or whatever, $3.5 billion they're going to pump into the PGA Tour. And, you know, how are they going to get their return on investment? You know, these guys are not going to just donate the money to the PGA Tour. But these guys all own professional teams, NFL teams, Major League Baseball teams, hockey, whatever. And you know, they have large fan bases where they make lots of money with these large fan bases on merchandise. But the PGA Tour doesn't have that. They don't have, compared to those other sports, a fan base that large. And not only that, but you're not going to see people walking around with a McIlroy or a Jordan Spieth jersey on. You know, they don't sell jerseys and hats like the team. To me, the only way they're going to bring in lots of money is with television. Well, the problem there is that two things. Liv keeps picking away players from the PGA Tour, star players like Jon Rahm. They've already got several star players, and then they just got Rahm. They got Tyrrell Hatton. They just keep picking them off one by one. So watching the PGA Tour on television is not quite as lucrative or exciting as it was when all those stars were playing. That's number one. Number two is the fact that these corporate sponsors who, you know, that's how the commercials, why the commercials on television cost so much money from these corporate entities. Well, already three or four have already pulled out from PGA Tour events, from sponsoring events already, before this was even announced. So I'm just wondering, you know, what are these guys thinking? You know, these are smart people. Mm-hmm. These are very rich, very wealthy, smart people. But yet, it's really hard to see where their return on this investment is going to come from. Here's the other thing about this. You know, you've got a bunch of guys with $3 or $4 billion, and they're going to negotiate with people who have endless pits of money, bottomless funds. So what is that going to do? It's just going to buy time, you know, until the PIF money wins out. You know, it's just going to buy time. They cannot long-term compete financially with that group. So I don't know. There's a lot of implications here, and like I said, there may be something that we're just totally unaware of that I can't even imagine, but it's a very curious thing. But I can tell you this, after this announcement, I believe Liv is going to be a lot more aggressive going after PGA Tour players.
Well, Greg Norman insists that with Liv Golf that it's unaffected by PGA Tour's new deal. Do you agree or disagree?
I agree. I think it's true. I think he's right. I think it is unaffected because of the fact that Liv, you know, I've said from the beginning, I have said that Liv will go away when they want to. You know, nothing is going to make them go away because they've got the staying power financially. So either there's a merger with the PGA Tour or they get tired of it, you know, but they're in for the long haul, and you can see it the way they just keep picking these players off one by one. I told a friend of mine today, it's kind of comical, but I said, you know, I can make Liv go away tonight.
Uh-huh.
All you have to do is give Yasser Al-Ramayan a membership at Augusta, and the trade-off is we'll give you a membership at Augusta and you make Liv go away.
Uh-huh.
Because that's all he wants to do is become members at these at these famous golf clubs. But I also think that the general golf fan, the general public, the everyday golf fan is getting a little bit tired of seeing these multimillionaires want more money and get more and more money. It's almost like greed. And so I think this is actually pushing it more apart than it is bringing it together.
Well, the tour, with them announcing this $3 billion investment this past week, I mean, it's positive news, but are you surprised it's taken this long to finally come to the table with something that can secure and keep some of these top names on the PGA Tour?
Yeah, well, I think they've been desperately searching for a way to do that, and they finally, you know, came up with this idea. But these players now, they're going to be offered equity, okay, in this new entity. But the equity that doesn't, you don't get that overnight, okay? That's going to be earned over time. Whereas Liv can write you a check tonight. You know, they can give you 30, 40, 50, whatever, 75 million, and they'll write the check tonight. The equity's great, but how long is it going to take to realize that? Especially when you wonder where is the income going to come from. So I don't know. I think it's yet another mistake in a long string of mistakes by the PGA Tour administration.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we are so glad you're with us. Hour 2, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. If you are just dialing us in, I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell, going one-on-one with our familiar guest, always one of our favorites. That is Larry Miller, former PGA Pro author. Check out his website, LarryMillerGolf.com. Let's talk some more, especially about Liv as it begins its third season, got underway on Friday. What is your perception?
Well, the perception is that last year, not many people watched it. You know, a lot of the serious golf fans considered it nothing more than an exhibition, you know, with music blaring around the golf course and wearing shorts and no cut. But, you know, but as they keep getting these players more and more, one by one, it's becoming more serious. And I'm sure that at some point they're going to tweak their format some. And make it a little bit more traditional and a little bit more palatable to the golf fan,
mm-hmm.
you know, to the serious golf fan.
Right.
So I can see that happening. And in fact, as a matter of fact, John Rahm said that he was going to lobby for some changes and some tweaks to the format. So we'll see if that happens. And I think it will, especially if they keep getting players, and which they will. They will keep getting players because, you know, golf, there's no guarantee in golf. You don't get paid a salary, you know. You have to earn your money, and even with this new deal, you're still going to play for money and earn it. So, you know, when it's dropped in your lap and all you have to do is show up, it's pretty hard to turn that down. So they may not ever get a Jordan Spieth or Justin Thomas or Rory McIlroy, but those guys might find themselves out on a limb by themselves eventually.
Well, and Liv Golf just announced this past week they had four new signings, and one of the bright young players, you know, from Tennessee, Caleb Surratt, he's now at Liv.
Yeah, and it's going to happen more and more, these college players, good college players coming out, because Liv wants to build their future as well as getting these current established stars. They want to get the up-and-coming stars to replace the ones that are going to age. And so that tells you again that also indicates that they're in for the long haul. And so I think you're going to see more and more of these top college players coming out of college getting offers from Liv and accepting it.
Mm-hmm. Larry, you always have an MVP perspective. What do you think needs to happen so both these teams and sides come to a deal? We just need to name you commissioner.
Well, I would, as quickly as I could, I would try to work the merger and get these things together.
Right.
But this new thing to me almost drives it farther apart, and that's why I call it a big mistake. Mm-hmm. But that's what I would do. I would work very hard immediately to try to bring it together. And you know what? And the PGA Tour may have to eat crow a little bit, but guess what? they don't hold the aces. So, you know, they need to wake up and realize they need to save the game and save, you know, we want the best players in the world playing together and against each other. And that's the only way that's going to happen.
He is simply the best. Former PGA Pro author Larry Miller joining us here in Hour 2, Sports Map Radio Network. Enjoy the third round of the 2024 AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am at Pebble Beach and Spyglass Hill. Always a true pleasure. Thank you, Larry.
Great. Well, I enjoyed that, and I'm sure we'll have more to talk about next week.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way. Sports Map Radio Network. We will be right back after this quick break.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, Elissa Walker-Campbell. Welcome back. Hour 1, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Many different ways to connect at eradiosportsinfo, at eradiosports.com, podcastarena.com, and you can download our app for all the latest sporting news. That is Sports Map Radio. And the countdown, it is officially on for Super Bowl 58. Our coverage does continue here in Hour 1. We're looking forward to the big matchup, all the festivities. However, in our next segment, we're going to lead off and talk about Thursday's press conference with Jim Harbaugh being named the head coach officially for the Chargers. Thrilled to have with us for the very first time, that is Ted Wynn from The Athletic. Hello, Ted.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Good to have you on the program. We've got a lot of ground to cover, and as I said, let's lead off, talk some Jim Harbaugh. He's introduced as the Chargers head coach. What were some of your takeaways?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great hire. Giving a coach that much power over personnel hasn't proven to be very successful in recent years. I mean, you know, even the great Bill Belichick had to, you know, relent his position, and he hasn't been able to get another position. So that model, you know, is a little iffy for me. But as far as the coaching side, I mean, you can't get much better than Jim Harbaugh, who has won everywhere he's gone and transformed programs everywhere he's been. So I think it's going to be a fun combo with him and Justin Herbert, who I think is an elite quarterback. I think he's going to protect him with the run game. I think he's going to build up that offensive line and then finally give him protection and time to throw downfield. And he's going to build a strong run game to complement him. So, you know, I think the Chargers made a great hire, and I'm excited to see what they do.
Jim Harbaugh, a proven winner and rewarded with, what, a five-year, $90 million contract. So let's talk timeline, Ted. I mean, how quickly can he turn things around for the Chargers?
Yeah, you know, the Chargers, they had a lot of bad contracts, and they've made some bad personnel moves over the years, and they're going to have to deal with that this year. There's going to be a lot of roster turnover. But, you know, with Harbaugh, like, he transformed things so quickly that I wouldn't put it past him to win some games and maybe even get in playoff contention. I mean, when you have an elite quarterback, you always have a chance. And, you know, I think even with a roster that people are going to look at next year with all the turnover and maybe not expect him to do too well, I think, you know, with Harbaugh and Herbert, they might find a way to surprise some people. So I think in year one, they might challenge for the playoffs, and in year two, they make the right move. You know, they might be a contender pretty quickly.
What do you think is going to be the top priority in this offseason?
It sounds like they're going to go for the offensive line. I mean, they have a high draft pick, and
okay. There's
some very, yeah, I think there's some intriguing receivers in the draft, like Neighbors and Keon Coleman and I'm struggling to pronounce his name, but the receiver from Washington. But I think ultimately they're going to go with Joe Alt, the tackle from Notre Dame, to shore up that offensive line. I think he can play on the right side where they've really struggled. But I think that's going to be the top priority for Harbaugh.
He's the NFL writer at The Athletic. Check out all of his work. That is Ted Wynn at FB_film analysis. What are some of your latest stories that you have posted online that we can check out, Ted?
Well, I just wrote about John Harbaugh, Jim Harbaugh's brother.
Oh, yeah.
I wrote about the Ravens and their puzzling game plan against the Chiefs. You know, they made the decision to move on from Greg Roman to Todd Monken to modernize that offense and to really take Lamar Jackson to the next level at the passer. And to that end, they were very successful. Lamar Jackson was, you know, had his best year passing towards week 9 to 17. He was top five in EPA per dropback. But I thought against the Chiefs, everything from the numbers to the film really screamed to go old school Ravens and get heavier bodies in a field and run the ball and make Lamar Jackson that option quarterback again and run him at a high volume, because the Chiefs have an elite pass defense, but they struggle against the run. They were 22nd in defensive success rate against the run. So I thought this was a game where you could grind it out and really test their front. And instead they went 11 personnel. They spread it out. And there were some attempts to run the ball. They got stuffed early, but I thought they just went away from the run too quickly, and it really played into the strength of the Chiefs. So I wrote about that failure of a game plan and just talked about some of the numbers, why it was so puzzling that they went into the direction that they went into.
Do you view Lamar's season as a success? I mean, he was unable to advance to the big game.
Yeah, I would view it as a success. I think, year one in his offense, they made a ton of strides, and in year two, I expect them to be even better. And I think it's so hard to make it to the Super Bowl and for the Ravens to be as good as they were and to make it all the way to the AFC Championship is a success. And I know, you know, it was a Super Bowl or bust type of feeling for this team. But I mean, for any AFC team, it's going to be hard to get past Patrick Mahomes. The AFC Championship is always going to run through the Kansas City Chiefs. And as long as Reed and Mahomes are together, it's a daunting, daunting challenge. So I looking from the outside in, I can't personally say it was a failure for them not to make it, because I thought they made some strides and they won a lot of games. But getting past the Chiefs is always going to be a huge challenge for any AFC team.
Yeah. Hey, we've hit on the Chargers. We talked about the Ravens. One of the teams we've got to focus in on, and we're going one-on-one. If you are just joining us with Ted Wynn, NFL writer with The Athletic, we got to focus our conversation and talk about the Dallas Cowboys. Another disappointing finish to their season. In fact, I'd say that it was a little bit of an embarrassment. So who should the Cowboys pursue as they are looking for their defensive coordinator?
Yeah, if we're talking about disappointing season, I mean, the Cowboys were an extremely disappointing team, especially in the playoffs. But they've done this year after year where they've looked great in the regular season and they kind of fizzle out in the playoffs. And not only did they fizzle out, they got stomped on by a lower seed team at home. So just not a great effort. And obviously they lost Dan Quinn to the Commanders. To me, the option that makes a ton of sense, and I see his name being floated around with the Cowboys right now, is Mike Zimmer. I mean, he's been successful as a defensive coordinator everywhere he's been. His Vikings defenses have been very good. And sim pressures or simulated pressures in which you're not blitzing, but you're rushing four, but those four rushers could come from second or third level. They're kind of like the new hot thing in the NFL right now, especially with what Mike McDonald is doing from the Ravens, and Mike Zimmer is like one of the guys that really first started doing it first. So it seems kind of counterintuitive, but in hiring Mike Zimmer, you're really on the cutting edge of defense. So to me, he's a guy with a great track record, love the scheme. I think, you know, you mix that in with Parsons and you have a pretty strong combo there. So that's the direction I would go in if I were the Cowboys.
I'm asking you, talking about how what the Cowboys should do in the offseason. You're hitting on defense. Let's talk some Dak. How much longer will he be the starting quarterback for the Cowboys, and can he get them to the Super Bowl in the next 3 years?
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Dak, if you look at the larger sample size of his games, is he's really, you know, a top 10 quarterback. You know, he's played, especially with some of the improvements he made under Mike McCarthy this year and how the offense has looked at certain points. You know, he's a top 10 quarterback leading an elite offense, but everybody's going to remember the last game, and the last game have been playoff disappointments, in which, you know, he's had some bad turnovers, and the Cowboys offense just hasn't been able to look as explosive or consistent as they have during a regular season. So it's a tough question, because you look at the larger sample size, elite top 10 quarterback, and you look at the playoff games and you're like, man, you know, like we need him to play better. But can you just judge the player based on these small game sample sizes, even if they're happening at very critical times? To me, it's a hard question. I know some people might have very you know, black and white answers for this. But to me, it's a difficult question. But I think when you look at the larger sample size, I think there is an elite quarterback there. And, you know, he's going to have to try to get over that hump. You know, there's a lot of great quarterback that has had trouble getting past that hump. You know, you look at Peyton Manning, people forget he was not a great playoff performer for a long time. It took him a long time to get over that Tom Brady hump. So we'll see what happened with Dak. But to me, I think he is the future in Dallas, especially with the improvements that he made this year.
Okay, we hit on Dak, but what about Mike McCarthy? Does he create that championship culture in Dallas? And perhaps what adjustments, Ted, what adjustments do you think that he needs to make with his coaching?
Mike McCarthy, you know, I wasn't a big believer in Mike McCarthy before, and I had a lot of doubts when he fired Kellen Moore and made himself the offensive coordinator, especially with how things ended in Green Bay. But he really invigorated that offense, and he took it to the next level. And again, all those numbers and fancy statistics happened in the regular season. So, you know, maybe for some people it doesn't matter because they ultimately didn't perform in the playoffs. So, understandably, he was on a hot seat because the Cowboys had very talented rosters, and they just haven't been able to get past that playoff hump. So, I think he deserves another chance just because he's won a ton of games. But to me, this is it. Like, if he can't get them past the wild card round or one game in the playoffs, then you have to look at other options.
Hey, good stuff. NFL writer with The Athletic, that is Ted Wynn. Give him a follow on X social media at @FB_film_analysis. Enjoy the game, all the festivities, and we'll talk to you again real soon. Thank you, Ted.
All right, same to you.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way. The fastest 2 hours in radio, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour 2, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. As promised, it's time for our encore presentation of my very special interview with Stephen Campbell Jr., University of Oklahoma men's golfer from earlier this month. We are powered by our good friends at Progressive. Progressive Insurance, making it easy to save money. When you bundle your auto policy with home, condo, or rentals, you'll earn a multi-policy discount. It's so easy to bundle, and it's so easy to save. Learn more at Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. We're going to take some time and tee it up. We're going to talk some college golf. We always enjoy when he's in Houston and, of course, in studio with us, and that is my wonderful son, who is a redshirt junior and plays golf at the University of Oklahoma for the Sooners, and head coach Ryan Hibble. Delighted to welcome in Stephen Campbell Jr. Happy New Year, son, and I always love when you're on the program. I know you're a busy guy getting ready for the spring season, so thank you so much for carving out time.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure being on the show, and I look forward to another segment with you, Mom.
Well, first of all, it is hard to believe that you're already a junior in college. You talk about the brevity of life and just how time flies. It has been an incredible experience for you as a student athlete with the Sooners. So I want to open up and have us go inside the ropes and just share with our audience. I mean, what have you enjoyed the most being a part of this premier program, your time in Norman, and just provide some perspective on what you've experienced?
Yeah, I mean, like you were saying, I'm already a redshirt junior. It's crazy how time flies when you're having fun. I was talking to, you know, a couple of my friends the last tournament I was playing in, and I was talking to them how it's crazy. I'm already 22 years old, redshirt junior. I've only got a year and a half in college left. So it really is. Time is really, really flying. But I would say the biggest thing that I've really enjoyed in college, I mean, there's so many to choose from, but I would probably say just hanging out with my teammates. I love each and every one of the guys. We've definitely grown. We're a really, really tight-knit group. We always are hanging out, whether it's on the golf course, off the golf course, going to dinner together, coming over, hanging out at each other's places. I love just how close we are as a team because we can really bond, and you know, no matter how good you are as a golfer, I really think team chemistry is such a vital asset to a championship team. So that's kind of what I would say. There's so many to choose from, but I really, really love all my teammates.
You know, you talk about team chemistry, and that's how you guys were able to get things done. I mean, back-to-back winning Big 12 conference championships. It doesn't get better than that, especially when you're going to places like Whispering Pines and Prairie Dunes.
Yeah, no, those are two championship tracks. Very, very challenging tests. I mean, Whispering Pines is a very traditional golf course, tree-lined. You got to hit it really, really well off the tee. The greens aren't as big of a challenge as it is out at Prairie Dunes. Prairie Dunes, in my opinion, is – one of the grittiest, toughest golf courses you'll ever face, because the conditions are always up in the air. Could be benign one day and they could be blowing 40 miles an hour the next. So you kind of never know what you're going to get out there. When we played this year, it was like 50 degrees, blowing 35, 40 miles an hour at 9, 10 in the morning. So very, very challenging conditions, and you know, very grateful and blessed to be two-time Big 12 champion.
Hey, we've been talking on our program with Larry Miller, actually your swing coach, just about the rookie of the year. And of course, it was Eric Cole, but also my favorite was Ludvig Hebert. And you saw him put on quite a display at Prairie Dunes. I believe he shot 15 under. How is that possible?
Yeah, I mean, out there, I don't think that was even, you know, in the picture or even in the question. Ludvig, I've gotten to play with him a couple times at Big 12 match plays, Prairie Dunes, and what you're seeing on tour right now, I mean, we were seeing a year, 2 years ago in college. He's that talented of a ball striker, and he's a really, really good player, very well-rounded, and overall just a great guy. I mean, he doesn't let success get to his head, so he's a really, really good player, but when he went around that course shooting 15 under in those conditions, that's probably the best college performance I've ever seen, if not the best performance I've ever witnessed with my own two eyes.
Well, I've had the opportunity to watch him up close and personal, and I think what stands out that impressed me the most is just how unflappable he is. I mean, he's almost robotic, but he's a machine when he gets out there, and he can get red hot real quick.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have compared him to a robot. I kind of compare him to Iron Byron. It's the it's the swing whenever they do testing for golf balls and equipment. They have this thing called the Iron Byron, and it makes a perfect swing every time, and that's kind of how it feels like when he's hitting the golf ball. So, yeah, he's a very talented player, and, you know, wish him nothing but the best on the PGA Tour.
Hey, it is a very happy new year right here at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. We don't want to get too far into this interview. We would love to connect with you. We are always live on social media, at eRadio Sports. You can email the show, info at eradiosports.com. You can go back and listen to this exclusive interview at podcastarena.com. with my son, Stephen Campbell Jr. He is a redshirt junior at the University of Oklahoma for the men's golf team. And give him a follow on X at underscore Stephen, J-R-O-1 underscore. And Stephen, I want to take our conversation now to what life is like being a college athlete. I experienced it at Oklahoma as a basketball player, but it is no easy challenge. There's a lot of pressure. You've got to be able to manage your time. You've got to be able to manage expectations and do well athletically and academically. So talk to our audience about how you have been able to balance the intensity of the schedule, the pressure. Just shed some light on the challenges of being a student athlete and playing college sports.
Yeah, like you were saying, it's definitely a grind. You really have to hammer time management. That's something I wish I knew coming into college, because it was definitely a big time adjusting period for me. It took me, in my personal opinion, like a full year just to really get fully acclimated and fully adjusted to the schedule. But an average day in my life, you know, when we're in season in full swing, is, you know, we'll have workouts at either 7:30 in the morning, then sometimes, depending on the day of the week, I'll have class maybe 30 minutes to an hour right after that. So I'll go in the training room, get some recovery in, then, you know, head off straight to class, get a quick bite to eat. And then I got class from probably around 9:30, 10 o'clock to anywhere from 12:30 to 1. And then if we have qualifying or practice that day, it starts at around 1:30 to 2 o'clock. And we're out there until dark, and then, you know, go eat dinner, finish up some homework, hang out with the guys, and repeat the process all over again. So it's definitely a grind. It's not for the faint of heart, and you really, really got to love it. But, you know, that's what the journey and the process is all about, and I love every minute of it. So this is just a stepping stone to the next level, which is the tour.
Yeah, and we've talked about it so much. I mean, just how incredibly blessed you are to be pursuing your passion each and every day. And you were just talking about earlier how you're surrounded with just amazing teammates and coaches. But I want to bring up and talk about a big part of your support system as a college golfer is CGF. It's College Golf Fellowship. So give a shout out to this wonderful organization. Tell us about it, the impact that it has had with you personally, and how it supports your faith on and off the course and truly is investing and growing up the lives of young men.
College Golf Fellowship is, in my opinion, one of the biggest blessings I've ever had in my life. It's really, really cool that, you know, a Christian organization specifically targets college golfers. And I went to my first retreat when I was actually in high school. I got invited. I got invited out there, and I was obviously the youngest one out there because it's a college golf driven thing, and absolutely loved it. Had the time of my life, got to meet some great people, and then have continued that on into college. And two of the guys who come over to our house, you know, every week or every other week for Bible study is Bryce Newell and Carson Majors. They do just a fantastic job, and they've helped me so much in my life, grow me up spiritually, and have helped me so much. So I can't thank them enough, and I love the organization of CGF getting together, doing retreats. It's awesome how Scottie Scheffler, Sam Burns, two of the top golfers in the country right now, the world right now, are a part of this organization. Just, you know, they'll go to a retreat for a weekend, hang out with us, and just guys being guys. So it's a great organization. It's definitely grown my faith so much in college.
Well, this is the perfect segue, because let's hear about your opportunity to work with Scottie Scheffler at his Junior Golf Challenge and retreat that he held at Stonebriar Country Club in Frisco, Texas. Your little brother Eli competed in this elite field. It was the top golfers in the state of Texas. And what was that like to have that experience and be a part of the CGF staff and to give back?
Yeah, it was great. And that was kind of my first time, you know, being a, you know, retreat leader. And it was around 12 to 13 guys, you know, college and professional golfers. And we got to host 5 to 6 high school kids in our little small group and teach them about the gospel, teach them about Jesus and how he has helped our lives through the game of golf and outside of golf. And, you know, when we weren't teaching the high school kids and they were off playing in the tournament, they had a couple pastors come in and, you know, teach us about how to be disciples. And wow, it was a really, really great experience. You know, I still hold on to a lot of the things that they taught me. And, you know, I'm really excited to see how that's going to continue to grow me and as a man as I continue on.
You bet. He's back from the University of Oklahoma men's golf team, redshirt junior Stephen Campbell Jr. And let's talk some more about Scottie Scheffler. Of course, it's been a big week. He is the PGA Tour Player of the Year, an amazing young man and role model. I enjoyed watching him on that Netflix. Just kind of share a little bit more as far as your time with him and what did you learn personally? I mean, what was your biggest takeaway? Because he did share his story of faith and interact with the 80 players in this event.
Yeah, Scottie's just, he's such a down-to-earth guy. I've really never seen someone at the top of the world as an athlete be that down-to-earth and just be, you know, that humble of a guy. And he shared a lot with just the other people that were there about, you know, success is always temporary, and, you know, you can never ever get satisfied with, you know, being where you are, no matter how much success you've had. And we're always chasing after something. That was kind of the biggest thing that I learned from him is, you know, he's literally living the dream that I want to do as I get older. And, you know, he's Masters champion, so many PGA Tour victories and Ryder Cupper and just all these different things. And he's talking about how all those things are just, they never ever satisfy you. And there's always something, there's something greater out there that is going to satisfy you. And that's Jesus. And, you know, it's really great to hear someone, like I said, who's on top of the world in the golf, you know, community and in the golf world that is that down to earth and is that open and bold about their faith.
The conversation continues with University of Oklahoma men's golfer Stephen Campbell Jr. after this quick break.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Welcome back. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Right now, let's go inside the ropes with Stephen Campbell Jr. What do you appreciate the most about Scottie Scheffler's game?
About his game? I would say, you know, kind of how even keel he is and his preparation coming into a tournament. They were actually talking about it on the Golf Channel the other day, and a lot of people, you know, they have to be doing a lot of these certain things right. And, you know, kind of the two main things he talks about that he knows he's going to do well in a tournament if he has these things right is his preparation leading up to the event and his attitude. If he's got those two items in check, you know, he knows he's going to play well. And I've found that very interesting to hear, because you hear so many tour players, you know, get so technical and get so wrapped up in a lot of different things. And I loved how kind of easy that sounded, but it's a lot easier said than done. But I really enjoyed hearing that.
And it certainly is a powerful combination. Well, we're going to move ahead. Let's get our listeners up to speed, Stephen, with the latest from your corner. You just returned from Arizona playing in a prestigious national tournament, the Patriot All-American Invitational, which is a 3-day tournament, 54 holes, held at Wigwam Golf Resort. This is your third year to compete. And you shared with me that it's your favorite event of the year. You always circle the calendar for this. It's very special. So what does it mean for you to compete in this exclusive invitational?
Yeah, the Patriot All-American is, it's by far, in my opinion, one of the best amateur events that I've ever played in. I enjoy it every single time I go out there. They always just do a fantastic job when it comes to hosting, housing, get to room with, you know, some of my teammates, and just, you know, they got everything there. I mean, they've got, it feels like a live event almost. They got music blaring on every single hole. It's like a big nonstop party for about 5 or 6 days. And one of the coolest things that we get to do is we get to honor a disabled or fallen soldier, and he's on our bags all week. So I think it's awesome that they, you know, we're playing for something greater other than, you know, our golf game, because it's very easy to get super selfish and super wrapped up in our own game and realize that, you know, golf's not life and death. What these men and women are doing to serve our country is life and death. And it's really, really awesome to see this event honor the fallen soldiers and our fallen heroes.
Well, it really puts into perspective, and the bag that you carry represents honor, respect, and bravery for those who served. And most importantly, we want to continue to honor them and share with our listeners a little bit about the opening ceremonies. I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah, the opening ceremonies are great. They had about 6 or 7 guys jump out of a plane with different flags. All across, you know, the United States Marine Corps, and it was awesome to see, you know, those guys, I mean, doing over 1,000 to 2,000 jumps in their lifetime and just acting like it's no big deal, jumping out of a plane. That was great. And then they brought in a couple guest speakers, Colt Nost, for example.
Oh, yeah.
He introduced a lot of the guys.
Paige McKenzie.
Yeah, Paige McKenzie was introducing a lot of the girls. And it was really, really special. We got to hear a lot of great stories from some retired veterans. And it was just a really, really fun experience.
And, of course, you had an opportunity to go to Luke Air Force Base and got to be reunited with Enzo again.
I did,
yeah. What's that experience like when you get to go there? Because the parents don't go to that.
Yeah, so Luke Air Force Base is awesome. We got to, you know, go first. Our first stop, we load up in 3 different buses, and we got to go out and explore. Like, they kind of got to show us what all their training animals get to do, and they got to run the course, and, you know, they got to put a person in a bite suit, and the dog would just go attack him.
Oh, wow.
So it was, it's very, very cool, and to see, like, how trained, well-trained these animals are to serve our country. So really cool to see that. And then when the trip was over, we got to hang out in a private hangar where a lot of the airplanes are. Got
oh, wow.
to eat some Rudy's barbecue, hear a couple people speak.
Woo-hoo.
And it was it was a really cool experience. I love, you know, touring the Air Force Base every single year, and we got to also see some of the weaponry that they use when fighting and serving our country. So overall, really, really great experience. If you're a amateur golfer who's super highly ranked, I'd love for you to go play in that event. It's fantastic.
You were talking about the opportunity to get to spend some time with your teammates. One of your besties and your roommate that did a great job and played extremely well was Ben Lorenz. He's one of the top college players in the country. And how about Ryder Cohen as a freshman? I thought he had a very strong showing. And former PGA pro J.J. Henry's son, Connor Henry, he played extremely well. So there's a lot of young, wonderful talent at Oklahoma. And I thought you had a very strong performance in your final round, fired a 65. And that's got to give you a lot of confidence going into the spring season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, one round isn't going to just give me, you know, the world of confidence, because, you know, the work and preparation that I put in is what gives me all the confidence in the world. And yeah, super excited to, you know, have a good final round. It was, you know, it felt like the lid was on the hole first couple of days and really couldn't get anything going, but it was nice to cap it off with a nice final round. And yeah, shout out Ben Lorenz and Connor Henry. Both played some great golf. Connor's one of our freshmen on the team, super hard worker.
Oh, yeah.
He's a super great guy. And Ben, obviously, he's just doing his thing. He's one of the most talented ball strikers in the country, and he's got a really, really good short game. So it's a great combination for him. And Ryder, he's one of the top freshmen in the country, in my opinion. Dude's a super hard worker, really, really overall well-rounded game, and he's got a great attitude. He's always wishing the best for people. So, you know, it's really nice to see we got a lot of great dudes on our team, not just, you know, good golfers, but we got overall great dudes.
Well, I was very impressed with Ryder because he was in your group on the first day and part of that pairing, and it's just amazing seeing these freshmen be able to step up and play on a big-time stage like this, and they're not afraid.
No, they're not. I mean, Ryder got off to a really shaky start. I mean, he was like 3 over through 9, you know, finishing the tournament about 5 or 6 under and coming in the top 7 or 8. So really, really great to see him playing well. He did well, very well for us at Big 12 match play, going 4-0-1. Kind of routing a lot of guys out there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So he's you know, he's taking a lot of big time strides in his game, and I'm excited to see what he's going to do this spring.
Hey, Stephen, give us a preview of the 2024 spring season and some of the venues that you guys will be playing at and competing.
Yeah, well, February 11th, I believe, we're headed out to Puerto Rico, play there. There's another tour spot online for the Puerto Rico Open, so always a great tournament down there. Then we're going to Southern Highlands in Vegas, another tour spot on the line, the Shriners Open, always a great event out there at Southern Highlands, one of my favorites of the year. Then we got some new stuff on the schedule, going down to San Diego at Palma Valley, because the national championship this year is going to be in San Diego, so we're hitting the West Coast more. Then we're going out to Florida, playing in the Floridian, and then we are going to Augusta's tournament at Forest Highlands. Great course. Really excited for that. Then going back out to Arizona at Papago for Arizona State's event. Then we got Big 12s at Whispering Pines and regionals and the national championship. So really, really solid spring schedule ahead of us, and we're really excited for it.
Well, it is an incredible and it is a challenging schedule. How does being in Oklahoma practicing, I mean, the weather can be very diverse, prepare you for these big-time events and venues?
Yeah, the weather in the spring,
it's got to give you a competitive edge, I would think.
I totally agree. I think Oklahoma, it's one of the crappiest places to practice in the country,
because hey.
Especially in the spring, it's always blowing. You know, conditions are never really ideal.
It can be nasty.
It can be, but I love it. I really, really do. You know, it makes you just so much better, and it makes you uncomfortable all the time, and that's what we're trying to do, is just make ourselves super uncomfortable in practice, so when we get to the tournament, it's going to be just that much easier. So I really feel like it's helped me a lot, just especially mentally, having an extreme amount of mental fortitude, and then kind of when we go out to a lot of these tournaments, when the weather's not near as bad, we're like, this is a kind of a cakewalk. So it's a lot of fun. We love it, and, you know, really thankful to be a part of the Sooner clan.
And it's certainly going to prepare you as you guys get ready to head into the SEC here in 2024.
Yeah, absolutely. We're all excited about that. You know, competition's going to be even better. We're going to have even more of a stacked conference with us in Texas joining the SEC. So we are really excited for a conference championship at Sea Island next year. Always a treat going out there.
As we get ready to wind down, I definitely want to have you recognize a young man who was not your teammate, but a very big part of the Sooner family and the Oklahoma golf program. And he's got that million-dollar smile. Wonderful young man, 26-year-old from Dallas, Texas, and he just earned his PGA Tour card. And, of course, we're talking about Blaine Hale.
Yeah, Blaine. I mean, that was fantastic. Like, I had my eyes glued to my phone watching Blaine coming down the stretch. I mean, for the listeners and people that don't know about Blaine, he's played in one PGA Tour sanctioned event.
Wow.
Since turning pro, and he's been pro for about 5 or 6 years now. So it's definitely been, you know, a grind for him, and he's had some very unfortunate breaks go his way. But I mean, that's what it's all about. Just continue to keep your head down, keep believing, and goes from having nothing to a PGA Tour card. And I mean, I'm so proud of him. It's going to be awesome. I've gotten a lot closer with Blaine as years have gone on, and he's just a fantastic dude, and I'm excited to see what he's going to do on tour.
Well, Blaine, as you're talking about, I mean, he's had to fight through a lot of adversity. He's ready for this big-time stage and this big-time moment. How does that inspire you as a college golfer to see all that he has gone through, the scar tissue and everything, and he made it? He made the PGA Tour.
Absolutely. And I know for him, you know, just making the PGA Tour is not enough. He's going to continue to work to try to be the best player he can possibly be. So he'll never be satisfied, and I know that. And, you know, it inspires all of us, because every path is different. You could have a guy like Ludwig, for example, just getting his tour card right out of college, and honestly a pretty easy path to the tour. And you got Blaine, who's been, you know, just grinding on many tours and Q school for past 5 or 6 years. So everyone's path is different, but, you know, if you continue to work at it, it can be done. So it was really, really awesome to see that happen for him.
Good stuff. Stephen Campbell Jr., redshirt junior at the University of Oklahoma for the men's golf team, dropping by during his time in Houston. Christmas vacation, it is over, and it's time to roll up sleeves and get back to work. Stephen, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mom. I appreciate it. Always love being on the show.
That, of course, is my son, Stephen Campbell Jr., University of Oklahoma men's golfer, redshirt junior. Always so much fun when he is in studio. And a big thank you to all of our amazing guests and our lineup. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports, the Big E Sports Show. So long, everybody.